All right, ladies and gentlemen, and strength coaches everywhere, welcome back to the Conjugate Chats. Before we start getting into the episode with our fantastic guests, we have a couple ad reads to get through. The first one is the Working Dog Coffee. So there's so many people I know mindlessly consume coffee through disturbing products on the market. The solution we have is offering an organic coffee product that doesn't have any of the nasty side effects as a poorly regulated energy drink. The only products you'll see on the label are 100%, yes, 100% organic coffee with organic flavoring. We have two flavors, the mild and the burner, are a great mix of a high caffeine product and a classic Colombian favorite blend for the coffee lovers. You can go to the website and use the code CHATS for 15% off, and every bag you buy will help support Working Dog charities around the country. Now, let's get into our other sponsor, which is Team Builder. Team Builder is the software for performance coaches around the world. Their powerhouse platform provides coaches with an elevated experience when it comes to program development, data tracking, and staying connected with athletes and clients. Team Builder is full of tools that coaches need, like multiple max training methods, 16-plus reports, evaluation testing, and goal setting, to name a few. Coaches also have access to consults with Team Builder's in-house sports scientists to help manage and analyze data. Head to teambuilder.com and sign up with the promo code CONJUGATE to receive a 30-day free trial as well as a 52-week football workout program. And with that in mind, let's jump into the episode.
And that's the first box you have to check. Are you doing this because you want experience, or are you doing this because you need to get college credit for it? Working with our school district and our admin, that box number two has to be checked.
And welcome back to another episode of the Conjugate Chats. I hope that the season opener with John Herschel is a huge success, and I'm pretty sure it is. John was an awesome coach, and really got a really good time, you know, getting to know him. I also have a great coach coming on today, Mr. Will Giesis. Will, welcome to the Conjugate Chats, man.
Hey, man, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be on.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start off with the basics here. Tell us where you've been, how'd you get into strength and conditioning, and everything else in between.
Yeah, man. So I feel like, you know, very similar to a lot of us, I got into strength and conditioning in high school. You know, I was in high school back in the 2000s, and, you know, at that point in time, I don't think strength and conditioning, aside from like the college level, in my area anyway, was really at the forefront with a lot of stuff. So, you know, there were some places, some private facilities in my area where, like, I knew kids would go and they would do training with strength coaches, but it was never really something that I took advantage of. And, you know, looking back on it, I kind of wish I did. But I was, you know, very similar to like a lot of us, I feel like, just going to the gym, doing workouts that were kind of like handed down, you know, from, you know, family members or cousins or whatever, other athletes, from like what they, this is what we did in high school, or, you know, going to the field house where basically at the time football would only use their weight room, and just kind of like either just jumping in with what they were doing. Now, I played soccer and baseball, so like, you know, hopping with football workouts at the time was a little intimidating, but so it was basically just trying to like figure out like what works. After high school, I went to Penn State, played baseball. And that's where I found exercise science. You know, I wasn't very interested in business. I wasn't interested in a lot of other things other than like sports performance. I thought that was really cool. Like it just really grabbed my attention from the get. And playing baseball, like being able to be around all the guys and seeing like, all right, like what are all these guys doing in terms of their training, and seeing like being a freshman and just absorbing it all. And I just really fell in love with it. And from there, you know, with Penn State, part of their curriculum is doing, there's two internships per se. One of them is more like a site visit where you're there for maybe like a week and you just kind of get the feel of like this is what guys do on a, or like coaches do on a daily basis. I did that at a private facility. And I had a good experience with it. I learned a little bit, thought it was real. I'm like, all right, this is cool. Like I could see myself doing this. And then after graduating, you had to do a, I think it was like a 6-credit internship or something like that. And I did it over the summer. So I'm from Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania. It's like right outside of Philadelphia. Big hub for like, you know, you have the city schools, obviously, with like Temple, Villanova, LaSalle, St. Joe's. But the area that I'm from, we have Lehigh and Lafayette. I actually did my internship at Lehigh. The guy who's the head strength coach there actually went to my high school. So I knew him a very little bit, but so he actually gave me my first go. And it was a tremendous experience. I was traveling with him. They would do like speed camps in the summer for other high schools. So there were days where like we'd get picked up at like 7 a.m. and we'd be getting back at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, working with like high school kids and Division I college kids. It was awesome. From there, I branched out. I started working for a private facility, Parisi Speed School. And then that took me to another facility in Philadelphia. It was called All Star Baseball Academy. So I was doing a lot of baseball training there. And it was a good experience. Like I got to work with like really young kids from like 7, 8, 9 up to like kids that are going to go play college the next year. So my background is very wide when it comes to like who I'm working with. And then from there, I decided I was going to go back to grad school. Got a master's degree from East Stroudsburg in the Poconos, and then did an internship at Harvard. Great experience. Landed a job with St. Luke's Health Network. Was there for about 3 years, and then just started looking around, seeing like what else was out there. I really wanted to get back into the college sector, but you know, talking to a lot of people, once you're out of that realm, it's very difficult to get back in. Had a couple interviews, nothing really picked up from there. And then one day, you know, I'm just searching around Google like strength and conditioning jobs, you know, and I saw one pop up for Springford Area High School, and I was like, that's interesting. Like, what's this all about? So I looked into it, applied, you know, they brought me in for an interview, and at the time, the company that I was working for, St. Luke's, they have a unique model in that it's like top down, right? So they have their physicians, they have sports medicine and sports performance. So they would supply high schools in the area with athletic training and sports performance. So I was already doing, you know, high school strength and conditioning for about 3 years when I applied for this job. And, you know, just talking to the like people who were interviewing me, like I don't really know. And even talking to them now that I work for them, like they didn't really have a sense of what they were really looking for. They just knew a couple of things. They invested in a new weight room, massive, and they wanted it done right. Like you and anybody who works in a high school setting knows the same thing. If you don't have somebody maintaining it from inventory, equipment, cleanliness, schedule, and you let it up to everyone else, it's going to be a mess. So they really knew off the bat that they wanted somebody who had experience and they wanted somebody who was going to run it, like make sure that schedule was the schedule, the equipment was taken care of, the facility was clean. And it's already something I had been doing for 3 years. So it was a really good fit. And I'll tell you what, like when they brought me in for the interview and they were like, all right, let's go. We're going to show you the weight room. I'm expect now I'm from like the Northeast where like athletics is a big deal, but it's more academic up here. And so I'm coming from a weight room where it's like a basement weight room. There's like five racks, about like an assortment of brands of dumbbells, rust everywhere. And you know, the principal at the time walks me down this hallway, takes a key card right up to the door, and I'm like, oh, that's different. Opens the door, turns the lights on, and the first thing I see is a 30-yard strip of turf, brand new floor. I look down, there's 16 double racks, and I'm like, this is not supposed to be here. And you know, thankfully, like, nailed the interview, and I've been there since 2019, and I haven't looked back since.
Awesome, Will. I kind of want to touch on a couple of things that you talked about. One is that there's a lot of schools, and I'd say even like companies that try to do like this outreach program of from the top down what you're talking about, right? I've seen a couple of physical therapy places around this area try to do the same thing, but it's also that same conversation that I've had with ADs and admins. Like, we want this, we just don't know how to approach it. You know, we want a strength conditioning coach, we want a director of, you know, sport performance, whatever, but what are those actions? What, how can we get someone in that role? What, you know, how can we justify the pay, you know, everything like that. So give us your honest opinions about that. How should companies or even high schools approach, even Division III colleges or community colleges? You know, I didn't realize there was such a slim amount of colleges that have, you know, professional, you know, strength conditioning coaches in their setting. How do you like justify to admin or justify to like a CEO of a company or of a physical therapy place that like, hey, this is a need. How do you
It's
approach
it,
that?
you know, it, it is. It's extremely difficult. And you know, I'm thankful to be in an area where it's a little, I think it's a little bit easier to do. There's not there it, the area that I'm currently in, it's really big. It's massive. Like you're talking about like the greater Philadelphia area where, you know, you can't not kids aren't just gonna go to one spot to train. There's gonna be a bunch of them. And I'm also not really, this area is not really dealing with a lot of I don't want to say a lot of competition, a lot of competition. The Lehigh Valley, from where I'm from, they're dealing with a lot of competition from healthcare networks, where if you're a private facility, it's very difficult to compete because you're charging kids to come train with you versus, hey, you know, come train at your high school with this person and it's free. Right. So like it's tough to pass up on free. But in terms of, I think it just really boils down to like what are you looking to get out of it? Right. If you're a school that, you know, really cares about the development and success of the athletic program, I think they're a little bit easier to persuade into bringing someone in. Now, it really at that point it really depends on it's in what capacity are you going to bring them in? Are you going to bring them in as a outside contractor where, okay, we can get some sort of stipend for you to work with these teams, or are we going to charge each team, each kid? It's in that realm. It's a very it's a it could be a very difficult or tricky scenario to kind of like work your way through. But at the end of the day, I think it really just boils down to, are you willing to invest in it? If you're willing to invest in it, then let's go. If you're hesitant about it, okay, fine. Let me show you what type of value I can bring. And a lot of times, just it's about having conversations with the athletic directors or someone who's running a facility and just seeing like it's like anything now. Like you have a problem. Let me help you solve. This is how I can help you solve that problem. So, you know, there's a few high schools in my area that will reach out to me in terms of like, hey, like, you know, you're in this position. What have you done that's worked? We're thinking about bringing someone in to do this. You know, how was your position created? What do you do on a daily basis? And then from there, I just kind of talk to them and be like, so what are you guys working with right now? And then that's where it gets back to like what I was saying before about, you know, it's the structure and the organization of the room itself. It's like, oh yeah, like so football comes in, they're in there Monday through Friday from 2:30 till 4 o'clock, and then the weight room doesn't really get used because, and it's like, okay, so your issue at the moment is you have one sport dominating prime time, right? Like kids are in school, they get out at 2:30, like no one wants to go home and then come back 2 hours later to work out. So what can we do? What can, like, this is what I would do in that situation. So it's really, I think to me, it's just really about just demonstrating value. And you'll get that in any field, but if you can provide some sort of service where like they feel like they're getting something out of it, I think that's a really good step in the right direction.
Absolutely. Now, let's kind of go back to the piece that you're saying about like if a school's on the fence, because I think that's where a lot of schools are sitting at right now. Like, yeah, we want it, but we're not sure how to approach it. Or, yeah, we want it, but I don't know, like, we don't know, or we can't justify the value of it. And how do you justify the value of a strength conditioning professional walking to, let's just say, a new high school and they have never had a strength program. Nothing has been established before. It's always been dominated by one sport, mainly, football, basketball, or baseball. So how do you justify your worth as a strength conditioning professional? Is it getting results? Is it getting buy-in from teams? Is it how do you justify that?
I look at it as like it's like a multifaceted approach. So like obviously, like if you can show success, right? And I look at like attendance numbers. Like if we have good attendance numbers, if we're performing on the field. Now, again, that's a little bit dicey because especially at the high school level, public high school level, you get what you get, right? Like it's not like we're able to recruit, where I'm sure like a school that can recruit, like that's an easy one, right? Like you can get whoever you want, but at a high school level, public high school level, you get what you get. So it's about, for me too, it's about working with like getting everyone up to par, working top down. Like we have some Division I athletes, we have some non-collegiate athletes. It's about working with all of them. And I think the big one, which a lot of people really miss on the boat on here, is, I really place an emphasis on like getting our female sports into the weight room. And every meeting that I've ever had with an athletic director or a coach has always been, even in my interview, it was dominated, it was pretty heavily football, basketball, baseball, wrestling, lacrosse, right? And I'm over here in my interview and I'm like, oh, like actually, like the school I'm at currently, when I first started there, we had seven or eight field hockey players coming to work out, and that was the only team. And now, I have field hockey, we have doubled their numbers, girls soccer, girls lacrosse, girls volleyball, softball, like trying to bridge all of that and provide it that way.
Yeah, I can testify to that, man. Like, when I walked into our school this year, that was one of my things that I really wanted to push for was enhancing our female programs. It's because, like, football has always dominated, and it still continues to dominate even to this day, right? It's kind of almost that driving factor into, like, I mean, let's call a spade, right? So, but at the same time, like, I also wanted to put emphasis into our female like athletics as well, just because like they're putting in a lot of work just like football team does. If not,
100%.
and I'll be honest on here too, some of our female athletes are probably the toughest athletes I've ever encountered, right?
I agree.
They'll do whatever. I mean, they might complain while they're doing it, but they're going to do it to the best of their ability. And I'd
Yeah.
rather have that than a football player half-assing reps or it becoming social hour in the weight room.
It's so funny you say that. I was literally talking to a coach about that the other day, where it's like, I have a couple female teams that will train together, and it's just funny to watch. They come in and it's like, I don't have to do anything, right? Like they know, okay, like this is what we're doing warm up wise. They go right over to the racks, find their workout, and they're like top down. It's like, all right, we're starting. Like this is what we have, like plyometric wise. This is what we have mobility wise. Here's our lift. boom, 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 in and out. And it's like, we just covered in 45 minutes, we just covered warm up, speed training, plyos, mobility, lift, and you're done in 45 minutes. And then I get some other teams that come in and it's like literally an hour and 15 minutes later and you're still here. And I'm like, yeah, like it, they come in and they work. And it's something that is extremely appreciated. And it shows. Like our female sports teams in the last 5 years have been incredibly successful. We've had a couple teams go state finals. We've had a couple teams win state championships. It proof is in the pudding.
Success leaves clues for a reason, man. Success leaves clues.
Yes,
I
it
mean,
does.
I love it, man. I absolutely love that there's definitely this push for, female athletics and pushing for, their success too. And it's not just, did football go to the state championship? It's how are we looking as an athletic program? So
Absolutely.
awesome job. So let's kind of turn gears a little bit. You sent me some stuff about having or establishing an internship at a school. That's something that we're looking at to do in the future, maybe next year, year after. Me and my AD are kind of sitting down saying, okay, what do we need to do to have someone come in, learn whatever.
Yep.
So what is your approach to developing an intern curriculum for someone coming in? Whether that's a college guy or a college person or someone that just wants to be in the high school sector, that's, got all their letters and a degree even. So what is your approach to developing an internship curriculum?
Right. So at the moment, our in order to intern for us, you have to be getting some sort of college credit for it, whether it's undergrad or grad school. That in that whole process, like I have a lot of people that reach out, and that's the first box you have to check. Are you doing this because you want experience, or are you doing this because you need to get college credit for it? Working with our school district and our admin, that box number two has to be checked. It can't just be, I want to learn. It has to be, I'm getting credit for it. So that's number one. Number two for me, it's, my thing is anybody can go work, intern or work in like a division one, division, a collegiate setting, right? Those, for the most part, those kids already have the tools. Right. They already know how to squat, bench, deadlift. Like they already have all the tools. For me, I love bringing people on to get them into the high school realm because they are a blank canvas, man. Like those, you're dealing with, like I said before, you're dealing with the Division One athletes all the way to the kids who are playing the sport because their friends play. And then you got everything in between. So, if you can coach the club kid who only wants to play high school sport because they just like to play, if you can coach that kid, you can coach anybody. So a lot of times I get some interns that come in and they're like, yeah, like I don't really know like what I'm looking for out of this. And I'm like, listen, you're gonna get hands-on, and that's the other really great thing that I love about the freedom that I have is you can get hands-on coaching experience. I'm not gonna bring you in for you to be a wallflower, right? You're not gonna do anything that I won't do, right? Yes, it's a high school. As much as I would love to say that the kids leave the room spotless every time and everything's, it's not. I'm not gonna look at you and be like, go fix those dumbbells. Go reorg. No, you and I are going to do that together if that's the case, right? So again, making sure that they're getting college credit for it, they come in knowing right off the bat that you're going to get hands-on coaching experience. Whether that's you want to wait a week or two before you feel comfortable, or you want to jump right in. Hey, just however you want to jump in there, let's base off that. And then from there, it's, they have to go through like anywhere else in a high school setting, they have to get their clearances done. They have to meet with me. They have to meet with the AD. Like I bring them in first and, we sit down, whether it's a phone call, a Zoom, if they're local, they can come in and we'll talk. And, I'm not just going to bring anyone in for the sake of bringing someone in. I like having the help. I don't need the help that badly. So I'm not just going to bring anybody in. I have to make sure you're a good fit. And the last couple of years I've had some really good fits, and in the next I've already have had conversations with several kids who are in college now, who are local, who are going to come back and do an internship for college credit. And we're rolling. We're getting a lot of really good young coaches that are coming in, and they're getting a lot of, in my opinion, some very valuable experience.
That's really good, man. Like, I wish there was a curriculum or an internship that I could have done when I was in college trying to figure out, what you're trying to do with this exercise science kinesiology degree. I thought I wanted to do like PT or strength conditioning or anything like that. I didn't know. And the only experience I ever had was at Division III college. I mean, that was the only internship I ever had was just because of like the, I guess, just the exposure that I had to my CSCS coach, which that happened when I went to college, and that was the only internship around, the given area that I was in. So to have something like what you have going on and exposing college kids to, the high school realm, and understanding that like you got little Jimmy over there that is 10 years old, and you're trying to teach him how to deadlift and hinge. And you got, this D1, D2 commit that does everything, all the movements, flawlessly. How do you coach those two people? And that, that's valuable experience for someone that might want to go in there, but they're not sure. And by the end of that internship, you're 100% sure if you really want this or not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And and I'm with a lot with anybody, I'm an open book. I'm not gonna hide anything from anybody, like in terms of, if you want to know what, like, if you want to know what we do, I will tell you what we do, and I will walk you through step by step. And I feel like that's the only way the field grows. But and a lot of these kids, they, like I said, they'll get the hands-on experience, but they'll also get to see the logistics of everything. Like, I think that's an incredibly underrated component in terms of like being an intern. Like, I can only speak from my experiences. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat and be like, yeah, I've had the best internship experiences ever. No, like there was some bad. There was a lot more positive, but some of the stuff that I learned the most was, okay, I learned here like how not to treat an intern. Like I found a lot of like ways to, I take, I steal a lot of stuff from a lot of places in terms of like, okay, I'm going to do this, I don't want to do that. And a lot of, like I said, like I walk our interns through our curriculum. I mean, it's ever evolving, like technology. Like I the first internship curriculum I wrote up, and I think I sent it to you, it started off with Excel and Microsoft Word. And then once I started utilizing Google Docs, I'm like, okay, get rid of Word, we're going to use Google Docs, and here's all the formatting and the formulas to use. Well, now we use Team Builder. But the problem is, you still need to learn Word or Google Docs, because you might not be in a position where you're using Team Builder. And it baffles some kids, like especially at our school, where like, we're using iPads with Team Builder, and I'm like, hey, like, where are you going to college next year? I'm going here. Okay, like, what do you guys use? I think they use like pen and paper. And I'm like, yeah. So like, Team Builder is a blessing, but like, learn how to read a workout card. So they learn, and it's, like I said, it's ever evolving, where like they'll learn top to bottom. Like, okay, here you go. Like, we're gonna learn, what the standards are in the industry for like certifications, and like here's what they are. Like, you have your CSCS, you have NASM, you have ACSM, you have CSCC, like, you have all of these certs. What do they mean? Okay, this is what, and I just give my honest opinion. Like, this is how I break them down in terms of like, tier one, tier two, tier three. if you want to get into a certain setting, this might be more beneficial than that. You know, if you're going to work as a strength coach in a high school setting, I think you should go get your CSCS. I think that should be the top. And then you, if you want to go and get like a performance enhancement specialist cert, like a weekend workshop, hey, have at it. Hopefully you get some CEUs towards other stuff, but you know, and then we work, I break it up into weeks. Like, you know, I had a kid in the fall who was only going to be, he was with me twice a week for I think 12 weeks. So I had to break up the internship format a little bit differently. Whereas the person I'm going to get in the fall, she's going to be with me probably 5 days a week for the length of a college semester from September to January. So with her, we can really peel back the layers a little bit and take things step by step. Whereas the last intern I had, he had twice a week for about 10 weeks. So like day one, we would talk about, okay, this is the theoretical side of things. Like, okay, here's how I would create a workout program, right? We're gonna do and like you can get creative. You can build like the template where it's fancy. You can just make some boxes, or you can whatever you want to use. Just learn how to develop one, and don't get cute and try to reinvent the wheel. Just make one and stick with it. You can improve it here and there. And then, you know, this is how I would structure exercise selection, sets and reps. So that would be one day, and then, you know, he would have a day in between. I'd say, okay, like we talked about this. You know, we had a whiteboard session where you threw a bunch of questions at me. We ironed it out. Now, between now and the next day I see you, make a workout card. Put something together. It doesn't have to be perfect, but apply what we just did, like homework, if you will. You know, there's some things that are in my curriculum where like we don't need to do homework on that because like it's we talked about it. Are you ever going to use it ever again? Probably not, but it needs to be said. So we can move on to the next topic, but they'll learn, you know, certification standards, operating procedures. Something going into a high school where I never had to experience creating an emergency action plan. You know, like there's things in my day working in a high school where I never had to think about before. So now, because of that, they get included in the internship program in terms of like what you're going to learn. Like, you know, we have lockdown drills, we have severe weather drills, all from all of that. Like, now that gets included in our policies and procedures. So just so they have an idea. And then when they leave, you know, they can take what we did and they can mold it to however they see fit. And they can, you know, create their own if they're ever in a position where they're, you know, in a facility that doesn't have an internship program, they can then, you know, to create a path for themselves, you know, make more money. Hey, you know, I think we have an A plus facility. I think we have some great coaches. We don't have an internship program. I would like to develop one. Okay. Do you have something? Yeah, actually I do. This is what I've created. You know, I think we should implement. And you know, it just grows from there. And you know, for me, like I said, like mine's ever evolving. And I think it has to be.
I think it has to be for any program, not just like an internship program, but even your own programming. And you know,
Oh, yeah.
we continue to evolve as strength coaches. You know, if we're running the same thing that we ran 10 years ago, we're not progressing ourselves as, you know, professionals.
Dude, I
And
look back and laugh when I'll find like whether I'm like going through my old laptop or whatever, like, or binders, like I'll find old workouts and I'm like, oh, you did that.
there's several times I saw like massive forearm day or you know something like that. I'm like, you know, it's kind of like that face palm. I'm like, you were such an idiot, you know, 5, 6 years ago. But I mean, I think that's part of the growth of and kind of the fun of being a professional in this setting. It's like you look at some of the old stuff, you're like, God, I was an idiot. Why didn't anyone listen to me? But at the same time, you're
Yeah.
like, I've grown a lot since then, and you kind of
Yes.
understand why you do some of the things you do now compared to like 5, 6 years ago.
Oh, dude, I'm 100% positive that I'm gonna look back. 10 years from now, I'm going to look back at, man, this is what you were doing 10 years. Like, it's what it'll be 2034. You're going to look back and be like, 2024, this is what I was doing. Why were you doing that? Like, that's the one, that's something absolutely crazy about this field that I absolutely love. Like, what you're doing today ain't going to be what you're doing tomorrow.
Absolutely. Now let's kind of again change gears. I want to ask this because we're kind of in a similar boat. That you have online products that you sell as, study guides for the CSCS. I believe you got some programming things in there. I think there's a warm-up guide in there as well. So kind of talk us through like why did you decide to sell things online? Everyone's got their personal reasons of to why. But why did you go out and do that?
Oh, so
So go ahead.
yeah, it's actually funny. Like, who was it? Stephen Rose. I think we both know Stephen Rose. Good kid. He was interning for me a couple years ago, and we were just chatting one day, and I think we were in the athletic training room, and one of the athletic training students was talking about getting a CSCS, and I was like, hey, like, yeah, I have some study guides. Like, I did them myself. Like, they helped me study for the test and pass. Like, I'll send them to you. Like, just here, take them. And I think Steve looked at me and was like, just gave him one for free. I'm like, so you did all that work for it. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm just helping someone out. And he was like, why don't you just sell them? I'm like, I never thought of that. So I was like, just looking around, I'm like, the study guides are freakishly expensive. And I'm like, what's the clientele that I'm gearing towards here? For the most part, like juniors or seniors in college who, can sit and take the exam before they graduate, or they take it after. Like, you're a college kid. You don't got $75 to spend on a book just to sit there and study it. Especially while you got other stuff going on. I'm like, all right, well, I'll just put something on here that's dirt cheap that like I made. So like, if it helps you out, it helps you out. If it doesn't, like, it was only a couple bucks. And then it just kind of trickled down from there. It's like, I have all these programs that I put together across over the years for like, and it's just stuff that we do now. And like anyone else, it's like, hey, thinking about like other high schools, who's running those weight rooms if they don't have a strength coach? It's one of the coaches. Okay, like they, if they're a coach, they're probably a teacher. Like they have so much stuff on their plate. It's like, hey, you may or may not have the knowledge. You're just bringing your kids in the weight room because you might think like, well, if they're in the weight room, they'll do this and they'll get better. Like, all right, well, let's structure a little bit better. Let me take something off your plate. Here's what we do in terms of warm up. Here's some speed work that we do, and here's like a lifting program that we do. And for me, it's a one time purchase. And if you buy it and you really like it, and you use it for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and you can email me and be like, hey, we've been using this program for 2 years. Like, has anything changed? I'll hook you up. I'll help you out. I'll be like, absolutely. Like, I don't like in this program that you're running, like it's doing that. Like, this is an exercise you're doing. I don't really use that much anymore. I use this instead. Or have you guys acquired any new equipment that you want to utilize? And the way the program's structured is you don't know how to integrate that tool, whether it's a trap bar, a new barbell, a landmine. Anything. You might not know how to integrate that into your workout. Okay, well, like this is where I would swap this exercise out and I would replace it with this because you have this new toy that you can play with. So, just from that standpoint, and it's for me, it's a side hustle. It's like doing personal training, except it's, I've already had all the ingredients there. I just put them all together and posted them. And one click, and I'd give me like a couple hours and I'll share it with you. And then you have my, like, I send it from my email, and in my email on the bottom has, my contact information. So like, you got my phone number, you got my email. So if something ever changes, or like, you're not happy or you want a little bit more, just text me, email me, call me, and we can absolutely have a conversation.
Awesome, man. And I'll be honest here, when I was studying for the CSCS, I grabbed a couple of your study guides. I think you had two on there, and I kind of went through it and was like, okay, this makes sense. Like, kind of went through it and eventually passed the CSCS and went on to sell my study guides. And that was kind of a little bit inspiration for like, dude,
Love it.
that makes so much sense. I sat there for like days and literally years, developing a study guide, 'cause gone through like each chapter and, for 3 years, sat there and like gone back through the study guide and gone back through that text. And you're like, that makes a lot of sense of
That's
3 years of work just
how I
being
got
here.
through. That's how I got through grad school, man. Like I would sit, like it was so funny, like going from undergrad to grad school and like the level, like how much I grew in that span, where like undergrad, like I might have sat like middle back row, took some notes, like printed out the slides and like jotted stuff down. And then, go to grad school and like now I'm sitting front row with like my phone on the desk recording all the lectures, taking notes. And then like the grad school I went to, it was about a 45-minute drive from my house to school. So I would drive home and I would, instead of listening to music or anything, I would plug my phone in and replay the lecture back. And I would like pause it at certain points and just like, think about like, okay, this is what we talked about. Like, and then I would get home, I would like take a break, work out, go back up to my room, and I would replay the lecture. And like getting ready for an exam, I'd replay the lecture and like jot notes down. And basically, I'm just like doing it over and over again. And that's how I studied for the CSCS. Like, I failed it the first time, like, so be it. But I learned like, okay, like this is what worked for me in terms of like how I, these are the sections that I did well on, and this is how well I studied post section. So I'm just gonna kind of redo that whole thing. Like I was successful in grad school doing it a certain way. Like, I need to go back to that. And that's what I did. And it helped me out tremendously.
I love the progression in which, like, how I guess I developed with that CSCS, because the first time around, exercise technique, program design, and I think testing evaluation were like my three worst things I ever done. Like, it wasn't even close, man. It was like 20, probably 20, 30 questions off. I mean, not even close. And then over time, you start to see like, you gain like 20 questions back, or you start to like develop yourself as a coach and have that exposure of like writing your own programs, then program design that could start to go up. And then you do testing and monitoring, and you get into, I'm not gonna say sports science, but like the data side of things. And then that starts to go up. And then you realize the exercise science, and then that starts to go up. I think that's such a remarkable like growth for someone, kind of developing into their own.
Yeah, easily. And and that's again, and that's one of the things going back to the internship portion of this is, I sit down with them and I'm like, okay, we're gonna prepare. Like this is what, if you're gonna do this internship, like this is probably the route you should go. And I'm gonna help you prepare for the exam. And the first thing I tell them is like, listen, we're gonna cover a lot of stuff. And I'm gonna give you the resources to help you be to help you hopefully pass the test. In order to do that, we kind of have to press the reset button because what I'm going to teach you and what you're going to learn here, they don't always line up with the exam, right? Like, I think that's the part of the issue that I have with college programs and in terms of like the academic side of things. And that's the problem I have with what you learn from the book is. It's not, yeah, yes, right? Like, you need to know what's in the book to pass the exam, right? However, I don't follow the book in terms of like we follow it by the book. And same thing in like college, what you learn in the classroom isn't always applicable to where you're at. For example, my intern in the fall, we were talking about work to rest ratios in terms of like training, right? Like, how many times have we seen a kid? I see it every day. A kid hits Like we're benching. Does 175 for a set of four. I turn around, I look right back. He's got 185 on for another set of four. I'm like, buddy, did you breathe between sets? Oh no, I just went right into it. Right. So him and I are having this conversation about why do you structure workouts the way you do? Oh, I superset everything because I build in that rest. And it doesn't always work that way. Like, as much as we would love to give kids, 90 seconds, 2 minutes of rest between sets, that's not real. It's not happening. And he was in class and his teacher was talking about, like, oh yeah, like when you're doing a workout, like, optimal rest and recovery is this duration between sets. And he's like, I just kind of laughed and I got called out on it, and he was like, yeah, I'm doing my internship here, and like that's not like that's great in theory, but that's not the way that works. And especially like in a high school setting where, like, I'm blessed to have the amount of space that I have, but with space comes more volume of kid. And I would love to sit here and be like, yeah, I build in a minute and a half rest between sets, but realistically, that's not happening. In order to get everyone in and out in a timely manner and to make sure everyone gets their work done, at this point, I'm just kind of hoping for like 45 to a minute of rest between sets. And like I said, like that's one of the things that kind of goes into it is like, you need to learn. You need to learn from the book. You need to learn in the classroom. You need to have that base knowledge. But at the same time, I think really what separates a lot of really good coaches from one another are how quickly can you work on the fly, right? Like, we have this workout. It looks great on paper. You plan for like 20 kids to come in after practice, 50 kids show up. All right, well, we can't do this anymore because we only have five racks. What are you gonna do now? Are you gonna panic and be like, all right, let's just roll with it? Or are you gonna be like, okay, we're gonna scrap X, Y, and Z and we're gonna replace it with one, two, like how quickly can you learn on the fly like that? And sometimes I think, getting a lot of kids from college when they come from the classroom, it's almost kind of like robotic. That they think it needs to go, we need to hit these steps. And then for me, it's like, nah, we can't do that. Like I used to have such a, it used to like really like, I get so much anxiety from like kids doing the workout backwards or, not doing like the hang cleans or push press first. Like they'll go and do like still do, they won't do A first, they'll do C first and work their way back up. And I'm like, no, you can't do that. You're gonna ruin everything. And now I'm like, why'd you do that first? Oh, there wasn't enough barbells. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, all right, cool. Just make sure you work your way back up to it. Like, and 10 years ago, I'm like, my head would have exploded. And I'm like, now I'm like, okay, like as long as you're getting your work done, like I don't care what order you do it in.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that because I'm kind of year three-ish, kind of going to year four of, doing this thing, and I'm kind of bridging that gap, if you want to call that, of like before my head would explode if a kid did isometrics before he did, our power output stuff, or did his hypertrophy stuff before his strength stuff, or anything like that. And my last school that I was at, I had four double-sided racks, and kids would do that all the time. It would drive me nuts, man. Just like I don't know why. It would absolutely just drive me out the wall. Nowadays, I'm still trying to fight the battle of like, for kids understanding like the reason behind supersets. Like we want work capacity. It gives you time to rest and whatnot. And they'll still go like one after the other. Like if I have A1, A2, B1, B2, they'll go A1, finish that out. And that right now that drives me nuts. I don't know why it drives me nuts, because they still get their work in, but like they're not, they're supersetting that. And I tried to explain it to them, and they're like, no. And it actually drives me nuts. I don't know why. Anyways, I had.
I got a couple smart kids that like they'll do the same thing. They'll go like A1, finish at A2, A3, and I'm like, You know what you know you that just took you like 10 minutes to do all that? Yep. I'm like, you know, if you would have went like, because like hey, I explained supersets, I think it goes over their head. And I'm like, if you were to circuit train all that, you could have got that done in 4 minutes. And they're like, oh, I never thought about that. I'm like, yeah, look, we're fine today, but next time you come in, let think about that. You get it done a little bit quicker. And they're like, well, okay.
Well, I'm changing the program now to where it's like A1, B1, C1, and then just basically like a big circuit. Because I'm like,
That's smart.
you know what? If you're going to sit there and do it anyways, we're going to get our big rocks first, and then we're going to leave all the other stuff, you know, if we have time at the end of it. Because, you know, I think I'm running like 30, 40 minutes, and they get
Yeah.
like halfway through. I'm like, you're not really getting all of it. So we're going to hit our big rock, and then we're going to try to do some like really kind of hype, you know. I guess cluster sets, if you want to call it that.
I like
But
that. I
like,
might steal that actually.
yeah, I've been sitting there thinking about that for about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, I'm tired of like them going one by one. If they're going to do that, I'm just going to adjust with them. You know what? Fine.
That's
Power cleans, bench press, big rocks.
the amount of times where I'm like, okay, here's the program, here's what we're doing, and then it's sit back and watch. I'm gonna sit back and observe and see, because they're ultimately they're the ones doing it, right? So like they're gonna find, and they're kids, they're extremely resourceful. They're gonna find the easiest, simplest, most effective way to get their work done. So I sit back and I'm like, okay, this is the plan. I'm gonna watch and I'm gonna take notes and I'm gonna see how they're doing this. Like I'll have, for example, we just implemented, we actually just flag football for our girls in the spring. And you know, there's about 45 girls on the roster. We're doing like dumbbell bench press. A couple of them grab 25-pound plates and they're bent. And I'm like, that's actually really smart. I never thought of that. And they're like, well, it's, you know, I figure it's 25, it's 12 and a half, 12 and a half. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. Roll with it. I like it. So just finding different things that kids are doing and just trying to like, you know, apply that as best as I possibly can.
I kind of want to circle back around to our female athletes again. You know, I don't really do percentages with them. I do it for our football guys, but I don't do it for our female athletes because, be quite frank, our female athletes are a lot smarter, and they are kind of run on the APRE system. I'm like, okay, today's a high day, a medium day, and a low day. You know, kind of high-low system, and they understand like what is high in their minds. They understand what's like what is low. So like they'll go in and say, okay, well, this feels really, really light. I'm gonna put like a little bit extra weight on because I know the bar's supposed to go fast, or I know that like when we do our hypertrophy stuff in superset, like we can go a little bit heavier because, you know, that's the point. You know, so like that. I love our female athletes for that reason alone, because they kind of they make that connection. I don't think sometimes male athletes, and I'll be honest, I did in high school. I always wondered, like, this is stupid. Like, why can't we just do our own thing? And now, you know, being in the profession, like, it was best that they put us on the system.
Oh, dude, I get kids. We'll do APRE. Now I've kind of modified, and that's again back to the internship thing. Like they learn, like, okay, this is the type of training that we do year round, and this is the type, like this is how we'll do it. And I make sure they get a grasp and a firm knowledge of like the types of training we do when we do it. And you know, I have the APRE book. I let the kids study it as much as they need, but like I also explain to them that like because they'll come in and be like, well, it says to do this, why do you do this? So for example, I think with APRE, like right now we're in the 3 rep range. So it's 6, 3, and then 2 AMRAP sets. Well, the first couple times I was doing it a couple years ago, the kids were, and with the chart to adjust the adjustment sets, right? Kids were struggling with that aspect. So I'm like, okay, why don't we? And the other thing for me was, you're going from 6'3" to an AMRAP at like the jump from weight to weight, in my opinion, was really big. So I'm like, okay, I'm not a fan of the second AMRAP set And I'm also not a fan of the jump from weight to weight. So I'm gonna redo all this. So now the way we have it structured is they'll get three warm-up sets and an AMRAP. So we'll go 6-3-1 and then an AMRAP at maybe like a 10% jump from the one. Well, the problem is some kids see the one and they automatically think one rep max. And I'm like, no. Follow the percentage. So we go, they'll basically for 4 weeks, because again, Team Builder is great in the sense that it goes with, it's like a rolling max type thing. So based off the formula, if you did 90% for 3 reps, and there's an APRE function in Team Builder where you can check it off to make sure that it's following that. But it, and I explained to the kids, like, hey, if you're not happy with the weights that you're doing, you need to push the envelope a little bit more to bump those weights up. So now, like I said, we'll go 3 warm-up sets, 6-3-1. They'll do an AMRAP set. Now, if kids are getting, if they're plateauing and they're stuck on 2 reps, that they'll stay at that weight for the next couple of weeks until they get 3 or 4 reps. And then once they get the fourth rep, and they put it in, then the weight, it recycles it. So, again, like working with high school kids and seeing, sitting back and being like, okay, like again, and book, like this is the way the book says to do it. Well, unfortunately, the book might have worked. The book might work with college. And even then, I'll be honest, like depends on where some of those kids still might not care. But to your point, we act to your point of going back to like the female aspect of things, like we do a lot of our girls are multi-sport athletes. So like our a lot of our lacrosse players who are in season right now will play soccer, field hockey in the fall, and basketball or track or swim or something in the winter. So a lot of times, our attendance with them tends to be kind of spotty here and there. So it makes running like an APRE, a triphasic, it makes running something etched in stone like that a little bit more tricky. So one of the things that I started to do, which, the next internship class will learn about it, is we started utilizing some like weekly undulating, with them. And again, like I have a girl who's gonna go play Division One field hockey who is very like she's interested enough where like she recognizes like when things change. And she was like, oh, last week like we were doing sets of three and now we're doing sets of back up to sets of six. And I'm like, yeah, I'm waiving it now because like, I'm trying to account for those who might have a day off of they're coming to field hockey lifts, who might have a day off of lacrosse, and now they're coming in to lift for field hockey. And it's like, I'm not going to jump you right, and you're still in season. I'm not going to jump you into an APRE cycle. So we're going to stick with some undulation. That way, like it accounts for the ones who are spotty in attendance wise. So like as we were talking about that, I'm like making a mental note of like, okay, I need to add like weekly undulating into our internship curriculum. So like now I can give these kids more knowledge base in terms of like, hey, this is what we do, this is what works, try it out.
Awesome, man. Now, I kind of wanted to circle back to the college credit for your internship. How does that work? Do you have to go through the NCAA? Do you have to fill out forms with a college that they're attending? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so we right now we have contracts with definitely 2 schools, and a lot of it I piggyback off the athletic training side of things. So our athletic trainers have been most of them have been at the school for 20 years ish. So they have a lot of relationships with athletic training programs in the area. So a lot of times I just piggyback off them because it's there's already approval. So there's 2 schools that I work with right now. One of them is Westchester University, and the other is Immaculata University or Immaculata College. Basically, if they need to do an internship, if they're pursuing sports performance, exercise science, whatever, and they need to do an internship, For the most part, they'll email me and be like, "Hey, I'm a senior at Westchester. I need to do a 4-credit internship to graduate. This is what this entails." More or less, it's hours. Like, they'll get the credit, but they need to do X amount of hours, whether it's 60, 90, 120, 180, something like that. And then, like I said, we go through the whole process of like, I meet with them. Are you a good fit? Yes or no? Okay, cool. You are. This is what you need. Now you have to get these 4 clearances. I think it's like background check, fingerprints, TB, and child abuse, something like that. So I think there's 4 of them that they have to do. And then it just needs to be approved by our athletic director and our someone from human resources. Now that's easy when you already have the school as like you work with them. There's a school where I'm going to get an intern from. She went to the school that I work at. She's coming, she's at a school in Florida. So we had to go through getting them to be like an approved school on our list. So like now once they're approved, they'll if anyone ever goes to that school, they can it's an easy like, oh, you're approved, cool, just get X, Y, and Z done and then you can start whenever. So it's more like it's a need from the student because I need X amount of hours for this credit to graduate. And then we just kind of facilitate that for them.
Awesome. I just want to know how that kind of works. I'm sitting there in the back of my mind thinking, that would be a good incentive for
Yeah.
someone
Oh,
to co
absolutely.
come in there. Well, Will, thank you for your time. Oh, let's do conjugate coach spotlight. I forgot almost forgot about that. I've done it with every episode. I almost forgot about it. Is there anyone in the strength condition realm that you want to highlight?
Oh man, yeah. Stephen Rose. I got two actually, if I can. Stephen Rose. Like I said, that kid was an intern for me for about a year out of college, and now he's doing his thing with Lehigh Valley Health Network. And then one of the guys I used to work with back at St. Luke's, Jeff Baker. He's killing it. I think he's still at Dieruff High School in Allentown, and he's doing a lot of really good things there as well.
Awesome, Will. Well, thank you again for your time and working with that crazy scenario of like rescheduling and then I don't know the doodle app that whatever I don't know it totally messed up on me and but I do appreciate you coming on and doing this for coming on the Conjugate Chats, man. It's completely awesome and finally get to meet like face to face or I guess screen to screen if you want to call that. And that's kind of the fun of doing the podcast too. You get to talk to really cool people, man. So again,
Yeah,
thank
man,
you.
this was awesome. Appreciate you having me on. Look forward to the next time, man.
Absolutely. And that's another episode of the Conjugate Chats. Stay strong and have a day today.